This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Our young protege, Mike Marr, is going to give us a classic movie review coming up in about 20 minutes. He hadn't seen a lot of Sillies, so he's going to give us his review of something that he watched this week. You don't want to miss that coming up at 8:25. But join us right now to talk Wizards on the Rude Guest Hotline is Will Dawkins, Wizards GM, powered by Verizon. What's going on, Will?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
Hey, Will. Hey, Will. Real quick before we talk about the team, you're not a weekly guest, but you're a is he a bi-monthly guest?
I don't know. He comes on occasion.
Yeah, every other week or so. But we got to get your walk-up song for you, bud.
Yeah, you don't need to pick it right now.
You don't have to pick it now, but you can let our producers know.
It's some homework.
You can pick it now, though.
You could. I mean, if you have one.
I'm really excited. I love music so much, it's going to take me a little while to get through it, but we'll have one next time.
Okay, good.
Can you give us what genres you're into? Are you eclectic? Are you pigeonholed into like one or two genres? I need to know this now.
My parents built me on R&B, so it's probably going to be something along those lines.
Okay.
But
all right,
well, old school hip-hop, R&B are probably my two things.
Perfect. Okay. All right, next time you're on, we'll hook that up.
Very good.
All right, so Will, I wanted to ask you, on a night when you guys aren't playing, what is Will Dawkins watching? Were you watching Nuggets, Bucks, Lakers in action last night against the T-Wolves? What is Will Dawkins watching?
Or, I mean, you could be watching, like, trashy TV that we don't even know about. We don't know all your habits.
No. I would say in March, we probably, at our household, lean towards college basketball.
Okay.
As we're getting closer to March. It's been one of those weeks where every time we haven't had a game, I've been at a college game just trying to play catch-up on some of these guys as we get close to the draft. So I've been at games all week, but last night went to a college game and then got home and watched the end of one of the NBA games.
Ooh. Is there a
what
TV
college
show?
Game? What college game did you go to?
I went to a local game last night, so I'll say that.
Oh, let me see. Who played locally last night?
I like how he's being cryptic about it.
Ooh, hold on. I got to figure out who played locally. Did you go to the William & Mary Towson game?
That was not the one I was at. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm just looking at the box scores.
Will Dawkins, though, you're a family man. Is Will Dawkins watching Joe like a regular show with his wife or kids? I highly recommend Paradise on Hulu.
Paradise?
Yes.
I will take all suggestions. My wife and I, once we get the kids down, we try to do some me time a couple times a week. So any legit suggestions I will take. We just started a show on the Netflix about dating a rabbi.
Oh, that's a good show. I don't know the name.
We just started that one. I don't remember the name either. We're on like episode three.
It's with Kristen Bell and is it Adam Brody?
Oh, okay, I saw that. Yeah,
it's
good.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a, I don't know if I'd call it a sitcom, but kind of.
Yeah, it's definitely not a sitcom.
But it's not a drama, really.
Dramedy? A dramedy, maybe?
Yeah, there we go. I'll take that.
Yeah, it's a hybrid.
All right, so let's get into the team. You guys now are implementing Middleton and Marcus Smart into the lineup. What has that meant to the team?
Yeah, I think we're fortunate to be able to add players like that who come in and are unselfish and are buying into the team right away. We had some player development meetings with all of our players, but even the young guys were just saying how impactful those two have been, just in terms of teaching and leading and allowing us to get away with some things on the court as well. So the influx of guys who have been around it have achieved awards at a high level, both individually and team. it's been beneficial to the group so far. So I think we're seeing a better product overall, but it's really helping the growth of some of the young players too.
Marcus Smart is an intense guy.
Yes, he is.
Always been like that. Yep. Well, why? What's the difference? Or the deal with Sarr? I know he had the ankle problem. He came back. He played one game, but I don't think he's played since. Did he re-injure it, or are you just kind of letting him slowly rehab it?
No. He re-injured it in that game. He came back. Game back against the Bucks. He rolled it in the third quarter. Kudos to him. Taped it up and played through it. So now we're just making sure that he gets back to 100%. But I would anticipate him to be back fairly shortly in the next few games.
And you're pretty happy with his development. I know you've talked about it the last couple times.
Yeah, I think Alex is in a good spot. If you just watch his trends from the beginning of the year to where he is now, when we first drafted him, we knew his defense would be ahead of his offense, and now they're both humming at a pretty good level. So we're excited for the last 25, 22 games, however many it'll be, just to really see him take off and have an opportunity to build towards the summer.
Will, I was lucky enough to have really good seats. Somebody in the Wizards hooked me with the seats right next to the bench for that Bucks game that you mentioned. And
yes,
I was struck by how engaged the players, not only the guys who are getting meaningful playing time, but the guys at the end of the bench, like, they were up and out of their seats, like, rooting for the team because it was a close game at the end.
Well,
like,
Anthony Gill doesn't sit down, like, in the regular seats the whole game.
Those dudes, they're, like, fully engaged into the game, and they were 3 feet away from me, and they were into the game all the way to the end. I was kind of struck by that.
Well, one, thanks for coming to the game. Let us know when you want to come back.
Of course.
I'm glad it was a good experience for you. But
it was.
It's rare, and I think both Michael Winger and I, we care about the type of players that we bring into the building and the type of people they are, because we want the environment that not be indicative of whatever our record is. So I truly believe if you walk into our locker room, you couldn't tell what our record was if we won the last game or lost the last game.
Yeah.
Because those guys are so focused on the now, and they support each other. So guys like Anthony Gill have been huge for us, but we also have veteran players that didn't get a chance to play early who are playing now, who are just as good at the time, and were able to take advantage of their opportunity. But 1 through 15 and then active and 1 through 18 total roster, they buy in, and that's kudos to the coaches for keeping everybody engaged.
Yeah, at one point in the game, Giannis clearly walked, and of course it wasn't called because he's a superstar. He gets superstar treatment. And Rashawn,
and it's the NBA, and they don't call walking.
And Rashawn Holmes, who was at the end of the bench, he leapt out of his seat, and he was mother effing the rat. Like, he was so pissed. Like, you could tell, like, it meant something on a team that at that point had 10 wins. Like, that's some good engagement.
Yeah, no, the competitive fiber's there. Guys are competing, and we're getting better and getting closer. So seeing the veterans fight for you and fight it with the refs and kind of push for you gives those guys a little bit more wind behind their sails as well. So we encourage them to keep doing it. And when you say you bring in guys like Marcus and Chris who can actually still play on the court but also provide that was kind of the reasons we did that at the deadline.
I think we talked to you about AJ, the young kid that you guys brought in. He's, 6'4", 6'5", whatever, 160, super skinny. I'm wondering, as GM, though, and we saw his athleticism the first time he was in a game. He had a nice dunk. Will we see him play more here in the coming weeks?
Yeah, so he's currently out of rotation. I would say with AJ, we view him as really an early draft pick for next year a little bit, kind of like someone who graduates high school and goes to the football school a little early and doing workouts and training is ready for the spring game and then plays his first year. Yeah. So physically, he's already grown an inch and put like 10 pounds on since we last saw him through the draft process, and he's going to continue to do that. We've had him spend a little bit of time with the Go-Go and just really develop with Coach Cody Toppert, who somehow recruited him while he was at LSU, so they have a connection there. So he'll spend a little time playing with the Go-Go, and then towards the end of the season, just rev him up and give him opportunities there to kind of build into his summer. So we'll see him get a crack here later in the month.
What have your takeaways been from Bob Carrington? I mean, I'm looking at his numbers, 9 points, 4 rebounds, almost 4 assists per game as a 19-year-old. I believe he was the youngest player in the last draft that you guys picked in. Like, what are your takeaways from Bob so far in his rookie campaign?
Yeah, impressed with his competitiveness, his toughness, and his everyday approach. His habits have really helped the group And I think you see that whether we're starting Bub, bringing him off the bench, he's going to compete and he's going to have an impact on the game and how it's played. So stylistically, he does a lot for us. He's gotten better defensively to where we can throw him on bigger players and trust that he's not going to make the mistakes that he was making early on. So he's someone that we're very proud of in terms of the first year that he had. And when you talk about the assists, the rebounds, the scoring, his improved shooting, the scouting report has grown on him and defenses are paying more attention and he's still finding ways to be efficient. So very proud of Bob. Had a really good meeting with him yesterday just on how we want to finish the rest of the season and build into the summer.
I mean, I can't imagine being that mature at 19. All I cared about 19, Will, was, I'm being honest, when I was 19, the only thing I cared about was having a good fake ID. That's all I cared about.
Was it from New York?
At 19, I think at 19, my fake ID was from West Virginia, and it was a bad one too.
Well, that makes sense.
It was very substandard.
I grew up in Massachusetts, so we all had New York IDs.
Okay, very good.
Hey, Will, how shocked were you by the Luka deal? Did that shock you?
I was shocked overall by the level of activity and star players that were moved at the deadline. I thought it was a pretty active deadline overall. Some of those things you see coming, some of those things you're involved in but can't put all the pieces together. Mm-hmm. But I would say in general, when you look at the West and how tight it is, I'm not surprised that teams are making moves to really make sure that they're bolstering the roster. And it's going to be fun as a basketball fan to kind of watch how everything unfolds out there, because there's some pretty good teams that won't make the playoffs. And right. Then those first-round matchups are going to be very interesting. So the league as a whole is in a good spot right now.
Just as a fan, the Lakers are 14-3 in their last 17, and I believe they're 8-2 since they made the deal. Do you consider the Lakers a legitimate NBA championship contender now that Luka's there?
I think anytime you have the star caliber players that they have, they're going to contend. But there are some teams in the West that are built to contend as well, so it's going to be fun.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, OKC is 47-11. They've been the top seed by far in the Western Conference for a long time. But the Lakers and Golden State, you talked about big moves. They've been playing great basketball. Which move did you like better, Luka to the Lakers or Jimmy Butler to Golden State?
Oh, I think time will tell on that one. I think one team chose kind of the next 3 years and the other team chose the next 2 years plus. However long, if they're able to re-sign their player. So I think both moves made sense for the now, and the other might have made sense both for now and the future.
I know you saw what Steph did last night. I mean, he had 12 threes. He hit a half quarter, beyond half quarter. He hit a 56-footer, and he had 56 points.
Yeah. I mean, some guys are special.
He made some of those,
the
Will.
End of that multiple times.
He makes some of those look so easy. You know, just like when he gets a bigger guy guarding him and a little step back three, he just makes it look so easy.
I think it's a testament to the work that he puts in. And there's very few people who have revolutionized how basketball is played at every level, like Steph, just because of the shooting and things that he's added to the game. So he's a tough player to play against, and he's proven that at every level. And kind of watching my son's AAU games all the way through high school, guys that are watching in college, like the way the game is played has shifted because of the great talent we have in the league right now.
Is your boy dominating in flag football?
Flag football starts next. That starts in this month. So he's finishing up some of his winter basketball leagues right now.
Good.
Got you.
All right.
All right, man. Always great talking to you. It's Will Dawkins, Wizards GM, powered by Verizon.
Hey, Will, you have a legitimate chance at winning tomorrow because you play the Hornets.
You guys own Charlotte.
It'll be a competitive basketball game. We're looking forward to it, but always good talking to you guys.
Yep. All right.
Good catching up with you, Matt.
Thanks.
And such a nice guy.
I should have followed that up and said the Hornets lose by about 40 every time they play. He didn't really want to talk too much about the other deals, the other teams.
No, yeah, he never likes to chime in too much.
Yeah, he doesn't like doing that.
And I think he knew that the Luka deal was brewing. My sense is because they had to include a third team.
Yeah.
And so I think they ultimately used Utah.
Okay.
But I think right. That maybe the Wizards and some other teams were contacted because I can't remember. We kind of all know the headline, Anthony Davis Luka Doncic, but there were other guys that were part of the deal and the third team that was part of the deal to make it happen. So I think there was a little more awareness from some of the front offices in the league.
Right, so he probably wasn't shocked.
Coming up next, we're going to bring in our boy Mike Marr for his classic movie review. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. A little bit later in the program, at 9:45, Kevin McCarthy's going to join us. Did you see his big-time thing that he had on? I think it was last night. We'll talk to him about it.
Okay, I did not.
But I posted a picture in our Instagram stories. It's Kevin with Ryan Reynolds, like he's his boy.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I don't know who the third guy is.
Very good.
I think he hosted some sort of Q&A.
Got it.
With Ryan Reynolds, but I guess he's tight with Ryan Reynolds. I mean, he's texting with Josh Brolin.
He rubs elbows with A++ listers.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him at 9:45 about what's coming out this week. But we now have Mike Marr, who's talking about old movies that he's never seen, giving us his reviews.
Mike Moore.
Well, before we begin, I would like to give a moment of silence for two tremendous Hollywood actors that we lost along the way this week.
Okay.
One, Gene Hackman, and Michelle Trachtenberg.
She was a tremendous actress.
You stomped on the moment of silence.
It's okay. Moment has passed.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I think it's Trachtenberg, but yeah. Who am I? I'm just a clown.
Or more.
Yeah.
All right. So,
R.I.P. XOXO.
Now, the theme of this movie is hope and friendship. Two great things in this world. Hope, friendship. And I must say, this is the most fitting movie title I've ever seen. When you come to realize at the end of the movie just how it all kind of plays together, ties together, very fitting movie title. And this is based on a Stephen King novella.
Nice, okay.
Great word right there.
Right.
Now we'll
I know exactly what movie he's
we'll start
reviewing.
At the very beginning. We got a booze bag. We got alcohol, and we got a weapon. He's behind the wheel of a car, and there's some funny business going on inside a house, okay? And he has direct ties to someone inside this home.
Okay, maybe I'm off on this. Continue.
Okay, and he's going through a lot. A lot of emotions are going through him. You know, things are happening fast. Things are happening quick, like
all right.
Daytona.
Yeah.
Things are happening real quick. He gets out of the car, and he spills over his Jim Beam. Spills over some ammo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then the movie cuts to a courtroom. One that was very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was getting painted as the bad guy. And as I was watching the movie, I was starting to think, hell, maybe he is the bad guy. Maybe he, did this deed that is getting painted or smeared across his name. Okay? And then he gets sent to a rehabilitation area. Don't want to say the... We can say the word prison.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
You can say prison.
Sent to prison. But, hey, the best thing about this prison is everyone's innocent. I mean, everyone at this prison is innocent, as they say multiple times in the movie. Okay? And when he's in this prison, you know, he some bad things happen to him early on. But then he kind of comes to, the type of person that he originally is. You know, a banker. He gets back to his roots, and they're doing a project for the warden up on the roof. And the great guy he is, he just wants suds for the boys. I mean, he just wants a couple pops. Yeah, he's just working his angles. But he wasn't a drinker himself. But he just wanted to get a couple Miller Lights, couple Icy Lights for the Pittsburgh lads that were part of his crew. And then, you get introduced to some more characters like Brooks. And Brooks is the old guy.
Red.
And, Jake, his bird, who I may have encountered in Deep Creek at the end of my trip, if you remember that story when I encountered the raven with his head cut off. I'm starting to think that could have been Brooks. But the main character, we'll call him A.
What's his name again?
We'll call him A. Yeah, we'll call him A.
Because people don't know the movie you're talking about.
You can call him Andy.
Yeah, we'll call him Andy. Sure, it's a great name for him, JP. You're being a little obtuse over there. Why don't we slow down?
Right. Yeah, we got to fill another 10 minutes.
But so, he just gets back to his roots. He's doing stuff for the warden. But his passion project becomes this library. It's this rundown library that Brooks is, kind of started and maintained and everything like that. And Andy is just so adamant that we need to, you know, grow this library, make it bigger, badder, better.
Andy.
So he writes to the state every single day for 6 years, just begging them for more bigger funding.
I mean, funding.
What else does he have to do? Yeah. He is in a rehabilitation center.
This segment needs some funding.
As you called it.
And, you know, he finally gets his wish. He gets a big-ass budget. And just unfortunately at the time, though, Brooks is not really there to enjoy it. Brooks gets sent home. You know, he gets freed from the prison. And as Brooks said, man, the world went and got themselves in a big damn hurry. And Brooks,
that's actually a great impression.
And Brooks is no longer with us, man. It's very fortunate. He was bagging groceries similar to how I was at Harris Teeter back in high school. And he just didn't really enjoy what was going on outside of the walls of the fine prison.
Do you think he knew the code for bananas? Was 4011?
Oh, yeah, it's a good one. That's definitely the code.
Did he leave his imprint?
Yeah. I mean, Brooks was there. And then later on in the movie, you know, Red goes back there. But one of my favorite parts of the movie is that Andy encounters a new guy on the block named Tommy. And Tommy's just a hard head, you know, always stealing TVs, big Mitsubishi, Samsung TVs, and, you know, getting caught stealing. And Andy takes him under his wing and wants to get him his high school diploma. And they're grinding in the library every single day. And he ends up passing his test. But there was just so many heartbreaking deaths
got
in the movie.
Got his GED.
Hey, guys, GED is Jed. And, you know.
Did he get into Radford?
Yeah, he was part of that 7%.
Good one. Well done, Maldies.
And, I mean, just there was a lot of unexpected deaths because, you know, I start getting gravitating towards this Tommy character. And it's like, wow, you know, Andy's taking him under his wing. Things are going great. Brooks donks himself off out of nowhere. Didn't see that coming.
That's
that was
weird.
Devastating.
Guys die in prison. That's weird.
Well, he died out of prison. But then, you know, Tommy comes forward with a bunch of, you know, evidence and stories that he can clear Andy's name. And then the warden just blows his freaking head off, man. Like, you know, that caught me so off guard. You know, they bring him outside, and he's like, hey, you sure you want to talk to me out here? It's pitch black, yo. Hands him a Marlboro Light. They're out there smoking and joking.
Yeah, how good do you think that heater was? That last heater.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, and then I knew things were, you know, heading south when the warden just looked at him, dropped his cig after, like, two puffs and just stomped on it. And then he was like, Tommy, you'd be willing to testify for Andy in the court of law? He was like, absolutely, sir, whatever. And then he just passed him on the shoulder. He's like, yeah, I thought so. And then just, boop, boop. Tommy, man. I mean, that's a rough way to go out for him. And then, you know, the very end, though, Andy breaking out. I mean, who saw that coming? Big shout out to Raquel Welsh. She's a missile right there. She's the only missile in the entire movie. She was a weapon. I don't know who she is, but, you know, maybe I should get that poster 24x36 on my walls.
Maybe you should Google that person.
Yeah, Raquel Welsh, nothing to joke about there. But, yeah, when he broke out, that was just incredible. And then the warden's freaking out trying to figure out how he escaped because, you know, he was on roll call at the end of the night.
Yeah, he vanished like a fart in the wind, Pix.
And then the warden's just sitting there with a bunch of rocks that Andy had sculpted. He's like, well, Raquel, you know the answer? And just launches it at her, goes right through her schnoz.
By the way, I love that Mar is referencing the poster as Raquel Welch. Yeah. It's not Raquel Welch at all. It's Rita Hayworth.
No, Rita's the first one.
Oh,
he has three posters.
Oh,
one for each era. Rita's the first.
You know what?
Marilyn is the second.
Yeah.
Raquel Welch is the third.
You botched war models, and now you're botching this one?
Well, because
I mean,
Cakes, you know what? Cakes doesn't know movies. Cakes doesn't know ball.
I'll just be honest. The movie that he's reviewing, we won't mention the name of it, even though 99% of the audience already knows it. It's a massively overrated movie.
Oh, I love it.
In my opinion.
I love it.
That's just my opinion.
I'm not sure.
You have an opinion?
It's also a little obtuse.
I'm
entitled
sure
to my
what
opinion.
What the movie is.
Nuh-uh.
Hold on.
You're kidding me. Right?
You don't know the movie he's talking about?
Not yet.
You don't?
I might not have seen it.
Oh, okay. You think I don't know movies?
Yeah. Well, if you say it was overrated, I'm glad I didn't see it. But go ahead.
It's not overrated.
Did it win Best Picture?
Well, that doesn't mean it's a great movie.
I don't know if it did. I don't think it did.
Movies are subjective. That's the great part about them. Okay. You can either love them or hate them or be ambivalent.
That's right. Schindler's List won Best Picture.
You got to give me like actors and stuff before. All right, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and then when he breaks out, though, the best thing is that he's cooking two books for the warden, and he does the old switcheroo. The old now you see me, now you don't.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, and takes the real book.
Do you think Andy used Grok to do his taxes?
Grok saved a bunch of money.
Mar should have used Grok to get this review wrapped up.
So, did
you get emotional at the end?
No. It was a happy ending, great ending. I mean, Andy crawled through 500 yards of horse manure and then went and planted a pocket of cash under an oak tree in the middle of nowhere. So his buddy Red.
Stash.
Yeah, so his buddy Red, when he gets out, could, you know, go find it. And that's exactly what happened. And then he rode off into the sunset. One of the final scenes is Andy in a Cadillac or Maserati or something just going down the road. Going down the road, heading into Mexico, because that's where his dream was to finish up there. Now, I will say Morgan Freeman was Red, if those of you aren't familiar. Morgan Freeman's narrating is top class. That's top shelf stuff. I've never watched a movie with Morgan Freeman narrating. On. Have you seen it yet, Jason?
Is Tim Robbins in it?
Yes. Yeah, Tim Robbins might be in it.
Yes. All right.
I will be
in it.
All right. Go ahead. I'll be honest with you. I have not seen the movie.
You never seen Shawshank Redemption?
Whatever. He's already done the whole movie. He did the ending.
I have not seen Shawshank.
Wow.
And this movie is just also full of great quotes. One of the ones I really like is, you know, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing in this world ever dies. Now, before I give my rating, I have a great quote.
I thought he says hope
movie.
Is a dangerous thing.
No, I don't think that's what he said.
And hope can drive a man insane.
All right, let's get that monumental camera over here so I can deliver the best quote in the entire movie. How often do you really look at a man's shoes? All morning, I've been dripped out in these custom loafers. My rating for Shawshank Redemption, 8.9.
Whoa. Wow. That's your top movie so far.
Top movie so far. It was a banger, and I really look forward to next week. We're going to switch up the genre of movie next week.
Hmm.
Open to, you know, maybe what I
comedy.
Should watch.
How did you pick that one?
That has just been on my radar for a very long time. Friends have recommended it. You know, some of the lads here at work, online, people tagging me in tweets. It's just all over the place.
People can tweet you at Mike M Show, right?
Yep. Yeah, Mike M Show 1 on Twitter, and Mike M Show everywhere else.
Jason, in my opinion,
remind me your previous ratings. You had the most complete movie you'd ever seen last week, which you gave what?
8.7 was Heat, and 8.3 was 7. But I wish I could digress on 7.
You want to regrade it?
Yeah, but it's okay. I know I can't. It's an imperfect world.
Jason.
Yeah.
Shawshank Redemption is good. It's fine. It's worth a watch. But that's what it's worth. Yeah. In my opinion, one watch. You would never go back and watch it again. That's just my opinion.
I disagree.
I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm a refined movie mind. I'm just telling you my opinion. I would never give it the grade that Mike Marr gave it. Maybe I should revisit it. Actually, I shouldn't because it's kind of overrated. But that's my opinion.
I mean, it's similar to Heat. It's a 2.5-hour movie, mm-hmm. and I just was drawn in the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, I never once got bored, never got, you know, distracted. That's how I kind of help rate these movies.
What was the platform you viewed it on? Was it on, like, Netflix, or was it?
No, it wasn't on Netflix, Hulu, any of the streaming sites that I have, so I had to, you know, go under the radar.
Understood.
What did you give it?
8.9.
There's no chance. I don't care. There's no chance in the world it's a better movie than Heat.
Yeah, to each their own.
Oh, my God.
Than Heat.
You're a, kind of a fanatic.
I like it better than Heat. Both are actually
swept up in the mania. Yeah,
8.9 and you get Heat 8.7? Ugh. Don't know you.
Jason.
And I definitely don't know you.
It's not the obtuse. Come on, man.
Jason.
I just disagree.
I haven't even seen
the movie. Jason, there's just no chance it's better than Heat.
There are literally 300 movies that are so much better than Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, probably 3,000.
I can list 300. I mean, with the quickness.
Tim Robbins is in a bevy of movies better than Shawshank.
Why do you sleep on Arlington Road?
Great movie.
Which he stars in.
I know, great movie.
Which is really good.
Another great quote in the movie that it, you know, completely ends with.
Yes.
Get busy living or get busy dying. Just boom.
Powerful.
Right there. Hey.
Like the segment. Yeah.
So an 8.9 for Shawshank Redemption. His highest reviewed movie of the year. All right, let's go to Kevin real quick. He's on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Kevin, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Yeah, Cakes, I'm so offended, man. I'm telling you, this is one of the best shows you can ever watch. I personally watched over 100 times. Ugh. And I'm even more offended that Lurch hasn't watched it.
Nope.
It's one of the greatest movies that you can watch. And honestly, you have to watch it more than once. Give it at least three times for you to be able to
at
see it.
At least three
times. I gotta watch the movie three times to like it. I mean, come on.
It's excellent the first time.
What I'm saying is there's different things that you notice every time you watch
there's
it.
There's nuance that are missing.
That draws your interest into the movie.
I'll just have to take your word for it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the call.
Kevin knows ball.
Kevin Barron, he's seen the movie 100 times.
It's a movie about hope and friendship.
It certainly is.
Did you believe that Andy was innocent the whole time while you were watching it?
No, I'm going to be completely honest. The first 20 minutes of the movie, I was like, I mean, there's no evidence that supports that he isn't the killer. I mean, he's at the house. He has the gun. He's all boozed up. They found ammo. I think it was 38 caliber bullets. They couldn't find his gun. So that is the only part that was kind of leading me to believe that he could have been innocent.
Andy Dufresne needed Thomas C. Mooney.
He definitely needed his help. No chance he would have spent all that time in the clink with all right, Thomas
good
C. Mooney
stuff.
Defending him.
Mike M. Show 1 on X if you want to hit him up with recommendations. He's seen Seven, he's seen Heat, he's seen Shawshank. These are all movies that were holes in his resume that he felt he needed to see. So we're doing the Mike Marr Classic Movie Review.
Every Friday.
We also have Kevin McCarthy joining us coming up in about an hour to tell us what to see this weekend. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and That's the funny. Team 980 here in the DMV. What are you laughing at?
I mean, Valdez is furiously waving to try to get your attention, and you're just sitting there looking at your shoelaces.
At least all. I was in studio.
Well, I mean, I made my way back in.
No, Cakes just came in like with a panic look. And I just, what's going on?
I'm a little panicked.
We're back.
We got big money riding on Mike Marr on a side action bet.
Oh,
kind of dovetailing off of his movie review.
What's your side action bet?
Because he mentioned that Shawshank is based off a Stephen King novella. Mm-hmm. We asked him during the break, and Drab T-shirt basically gave him a $5 free roll bet to tell us where most of Stephen King's novels are set. Most of them are set in this one particular state. So Drab T-shirt put down $5. Valdez slammed down $5 on the table. So I was like, why don't I just match? I'll throw another five spots. So there's $15 riding on Mike Marr.
So I don't even think I know it.
It's got to be a nub state. It can't be one of the popular ones like New York, California, Florida, Texas. Okay, I'm going to guess, because I have seen It.
Okay.
And
this could be trouble for us.
And it just looks like it could be set in this town within this state.
Okay.
Nubs.
Now I don't think he has.
Okay, well.
Isn't the town pretty, don't you know the name of the town?
Okay, I'm going to say this town, or the state,
yeah.
Known for the gabagool, the pizza, Connecticut.
You know, yeah, it's pretty close.
Save us money ever.
But is it Mass?
Is it Mass?
It's Maine.
It's Maine.
Oh, he's from Maine.
Maine, yeah. Right.
Oh, okay, that's why.
Man, I thought my money was... When he said that I saw it, I was like, uh-oh, could be trouble.
That wasn't the setting... Isn't it Dairyworth, Maine?
I don't know.
The town.
I'm not that familiar with it, but once he said I saw it, that made me think that our money was at risk. But we're good.
Was Misery based on a Stephen King novel?
Misery is a Stephen King novel.
Oh, it is just a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
He sold that novella looking at trivia for a dollar, by the way. Shawshank Redemption.
He sold that for a dollar? I mean, he sold it to a publisher for a buck? We had to have gotten some residuals after that, I would think.
Mm.
Or is just the publishing house just get it? They reap all the rewards.
Not sure how it works. Man, I just saw that in some
good
trivia thing.
Dairy Maine.
Okay, got Dairy it. Worth. Good. Our money's safe.
I would have guessed, I was going to guess Massachusetts, but clearly wrong.
Yeah.
I'd have got that right. So at the Combine, the Commanders have both Adam Peters there. Mm-hmm. Well, they have several people because Newmark is there, mm-hmm. who's Peters' right-hand man, the assistant GM, and Dan Quinn was there. Do you care to hear some of Dan Quinn?
Sure. He's always an upbeat dude.
Dan Quinn talking about what they're looking for mm-hmm. in players and why he's there.
It's probably bigger than like this specific thing, but what at the very front of the line, man, are we looking for like the competitive spirit in a player and guys who just absolutely love ball. They're willing to show that connection to their teammates, and some of that shows up in meetings like it does here about leadership, about tell me some examples. The tape and that part of the evaluation, that's clear. But we also want to go full circle and make sure it's so important that the people that we bring in to this crew are going to be part of an outstanding group. And we want to make sure every single thought we can do to add to that, we will. And so that's much clearer to be able to see that on full display going into this year.
You know what we should do, just to make it interesting, because mm-hmm. we're all gamblers for the most part, and we all throw in like $5, but we have a draft on what position they're going to draft in their very first pick.
I like it. I'll throw $5.
So we have
there.
A draft, though. We so have to, like, if you're the eighth pick, you're hoard because you're gonna be stuck with like quarterback.
Well, I mean, we could be more specific, like offensive tackle or offensive guard. Mm-hmm. You know, they're probably not going to draft a guard, but corner, safety, linebacker, edge. Okay. So quarterback would not be one of the positions.
No.
I don't know. Make it interesting.
Sure. I'm down. I'll do it.
One, two, three, four.
I'll burn.
We got seven.
I'll burn $5.
Be seven positions.
Yep.
And if we're all wrong, then no one wins.
Do we get a bonus if they trade out of number 29, if you predict that?
I haven't really thought about that.
Okay.
No.
Got to figure these things out.
No, whatever position they draft in the first round, their very first pick, whoever picks that position, they win the pot.
I'm just stunned by, like, watching these defensive linemen run. Like, a dude named Aeneas Peebles from Virginia Tech, I'm sure you've seen play in person.
Many times.
He ran a 4.95 40, mm-hmm. and he's a big, hulking offensive lineman. Like, how are these guys running times like this? Like, there's another defensive lineman, I think it's James Pierce Jr. from Tennessee.
Yeah. Peebles is a defensive lineman.
Right, he's a defensive lineman.
Yeah, yeah.
Pierce is, I believe, a linebacker. He's a defensive lineman from Tennessee who ran a 4.47.
James Pierce?
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be he'll probably be a top 10 pick.
Like, 15 or 20 years ago, if you're a wideout, you're running like 4.47s. And people are like, well, that's crazy, like blazing fast time.
Yeah.
Now defensive linemen are running mid 4.4s.
Yep.
I mean, it's just absurd.
Well, Peoples in particular transferred in from Duke. Mm-hmm. And he was very good at Duke. You know, Duke's defense was pretty darn good 2 years ago. And he transferred in, and you know he got paid in IL. Big time.
Sure.
I'm not sure what the number was, but he got paid.
Yeah.
And he'll get, he'll be on an NFL roster.
Do you like the fact that they do seem to be targeting guys that all kind of fit in their culture?
Yeah.
It's really big to Quinn and Peters.
I would think most teams, if not all, kind of have that same mindset. I would think. Hey,
do you think if there's a decision between two players at the same position and say one has better tape, maybe tests better at the combine, but the other one interviewed better and seems to be more of a team-oriented guy, mm-hmm. they would go with that player than the other?
That's what it seems like. It seems like they value that.
They seems like
number one.
Yeah.
Like he's starting to say, that they're commanders.
It seems like talent isn't the be-all, end-all.
Right. You better be like a culture fit for them to work your way into that room.
You have to be team oriented.
Yes.
It's not about the me, it's about the we.
Right. Yeah, I think
he
that's
thinks
something
it means something
stress.
To be a commander. So it's not just straight.
Now, I do think you got to be talented. You got to be, but if the talent's pretty equal, yeah, I would say yes.
I actually think that if there was even more of a gap, he would choose the player that's more team oriented. I mean, I can't think of a specific example of a player who's in the draft process now that's more me, but if there's even if there's a gap, I feel like Dan Quinn would take that player.
And they just coach him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Maybe I think it maybe works better in the long run.
Yeah.
And that's what Dan wants.
Well, I think that dude, Landon Jackson, the Arkansas defensive end, he's got to be on their radar after what he did yesterday at the combine. We already mentioned the 40-inch vertical. He had a 1.65 10-yard split. He ran a 4.68 in the 40-yard dash. Like, they need pass rush help, and he seems like he'd be a perfect fit.
The only thing that gets me nervous about him is he only had 6.5 sacks.
Yeah.
Like, don't you want more production in college than that?
I mean, at 6.5.
It would get me nervous that he has all these physical tools, but it may not transfer. I mean, this is years and years ago, but you remember the guy Mike Mamula?
Sure. He was a combine warrior.
Combine freak.
Yeah.
Never really panned out in the NFL. And I would be afraid that if you get somebody like this, who at Arkansas had 6.5 sacks and 1 forced fumble, like that just doesn't jump off the page.
He also had 9.5 tackles for loss, and he's 6'6", 280, and he's got really good athletic traits. Like, I feel like that's the sort of guy, and if he's a good high character guy that they're seeking, I mean, I think you could do
way
worse
coming on
at number 29.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how he was defended? I mean,
right.
What if he was doubled a bunch of times?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure all the top guys are doubled.
You know, I don't think you can jump into the stat of sacks because that could just be kind of random. I mean, if that were the case, then the number one sack guy from this past year would be the top pick at edge, and he's not going to be. I mean, Antoine Powell Ryland for Virginia Tech, stud linebacker, had 15, 16 sacks, maybe more. But I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick.
Maybe it's a guy they target in the second or third rounds.
Yeah, I mean,
if he drops to that level.
So anyway, but no, I think you're right. I think the mindset of, all right, he's got to fit into our culture. He's got to love the game. He's got to want to work. He's got to be great in the locker room. I think that's easily the mindset every team should have. I'm not sure if they do. Maybe they just go after the most talented guys and they don't really worry about the character. But I would think most teams do.
No, I think Quinn in particular spoke about brotherhood throughout.
He likes
all the
that.
Players talked about it.
Yeah, he likes
and they
that.
Believe that was part of the reason that they were successful.
Mm-hmm.
I'd argue that Jayden Daniels was the biggest reason that they were successful.
He was a big one. Yeah.
More than the brotherhood?
I mean, there was a lot of reasons, but I think the fact that everything completely changed in Ashburn, Cakesy. Everything completely
it
changed over
to.
There.
And
it did.
It's very welcome.
Yes.
It was a positive change.
People were happy when they walked in that door.
Yes.
Unlike the last 20 years.
And fans have confidence now that they have somebody in Adam Peters with people like Dan Quinn helping them make decisions versus Ron Rivera, who botched basically every draft pick.
Right.
Yeah.
Good riddance.
It was not good. It was not a good run for Ron.
Coming up next, we'll open up the entertainment page here on the Junkies.